of 146, which is about the spirit, a wonderful spirit.
You have to realize that among all the four Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Among these four Gospels, the Gospel of John talks the most about the Spirit. It's amazing because, why? Because the Gospel of John is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being God Himself. That's what the Bible says here in Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Gospel is definitely telling us that the Lord Jesus is nothing less than God Himself. Right? It's because He became a man. So as a man, a lot of people didn't know that he was God. Can you imagine Jesus Christ became a man like you and me? Will you believe that he's God? Suppose I tell you, hey, Moses, do you know I'm God? You see, he laughs immediately. It's impossible to believe. Of course, I'm not God. If I say I'm God, I'm lying. I'm not God. But it was Jesus Christ who became a man. And he looks like you and me. And he's a real man. He's the Son of Man. And the Word became flesh, right? In verse 14. The Word. John 1:14. The Word, who was God Himself, became flesh, just like you and me. And dwelled amongst us. My, so he became a man. Now, if I come to you and tell you I'm God, he laughs so hard. I almost fell off his chair. He's laughing. He might fall off his chair. But what about Jesus Christ when he came to you 2,000 years ago? Let's say you were there. And he tells you, I'm God.
Hard to believe.
Hey, hard to believe. Impossible to believe. You will laugh just like you laugh tonight, and you fall off your chair. It's very difficult. That's what the Bible, especially in the Gospel of John, the four Gospels. Right, the first Gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, talks about Jesus Christ being the King. That's why he's the Son of David. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of David to inherit the throne, to be the king. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came down to bring his kingdom here. That is why the beginning of the gospel is repent, for the kingdom of heavens is at hand. So, the gospel of Matthew is really the gospel of the kingdom. That's why it's specially mentioned, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world. And sure enough, one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come, not as the Savior, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible told us about two comings of our Lord Jesus. His first coming is the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, would you please read to us? Do you have it, John?
Yeah,
you have it there. Computer is faster sometimes, right? Oh, you found it. Okay, read it to us. No, read it to us. Yes.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Rejoice greatly. No, you should read it like you're rejoicing. Okay, go ahead.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Right.
Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Behold, your king is coming to you.
Your king is coming to you. So remember, in the concept of the Jews, the Messiah is the coming king. For us, the Messiah is a savior. But in the mind of all the Jews, they are waiting for the Messiah to come as a king. And indeed, he was the king. But in his first coming, what happened in his first coming? The king cometh what?
He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey.
Just and having what?
Salvation.
Now, lowly.
And riding on a donkey.
On Mercedes-Benz. Riding on what? A white horse? On a donkey. That means he lowered himself. And it's not just a donkey, it is
a colt,
a very young donkey. It's even hardly strong enough to carry a man. That is why as such a colt, the mother donkey must be there with the colt. Yes, really. So, the Lord lowered himself even as a slave, but he is a king. He is a king. But he did not come as a king. Because his first coming is to bring salvation. That was his first coming. Right? Sent by the Father to accomplish redemption. So, the first coming, he was sitting on a what? A colt. Lowly, entering into Jerusalem. And that was the first time the Jewish people recognized him as the king. That's why they shout, Hosanna. Right? He, the king, who comes in the name of the Lord. They recognized, that was the only time they recognized the Messiah as the king, but only for a very short period of time. A few days later, they said, crucify him. Now, what about the second coming? Where does it written, second coming, that he wrote on a donkey? No. Where is it written? Revelation chapter 19, yeah, let's read Revelation chapter 19 now. Right, Revelation chapter 19, right, let's see, right, he came, right? Chapter 19, he came back. This is his second coming, right? Beginning in verse 11, okay, please.
Now I saw heaven open,
and behold, a donkey. No, behold a colt, behold a donkey, a white horse, my goodness, that's the second coming. 他第二次来啊,哇,不一样了, a white horse. Now, continue to read, please.
Behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True.
Amen.
And in righteousness he judges.
It makes war, my goodness. The second time when he comes, he is going to destroy the armies of all the world because the armies will gather outside of Jerusalem in the valley called Megiddo. That's why that war is called Har Megiddon, meaning to say the valley of Megiddo. And it's currently going to turn into a river of blood. Okay, read on.
His eyes were like a flame of fire.
Amen, right.
And on his head were many crowns.
Wow, is that the same Christ?
It's him.
It's him. It's him, but it's quite different than the first time he came. First time he came, he was born in a manger, so lowly. Didn't even have a place to lay his head. And he lowered himself to become a slave. Then he let himself be crucified as our sin offering. It's really not a simple coming, right? He was spit upon. He went through all kinds of suffering. Can you imagine? Can you endure that? I don't think any one of us could endure that. But his first coming was for salvation. Now, the second coming, my goodness, it was really something wonderful. He is now the King of Kings. His head has many crowns. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood because of the war there. And his name is called the Word of God, just like what John said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now his name is called what? The Word of God. So you better read the Word of God, right? Don't just read the Word. You have to really touch the Lord himself. His name is the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on the white horses. Now, are you going to be part of this army or not? Tima, you sure? You're going to get ready? Well, don't be so sure. You have to be ready. Yes, you can be sure, but not just, okay, I believe, but you remain as you are. No. If you want to be part of that army with him, firstly, you have to be raptured to the heavens, and then you come down with him as his army. Because the army came down from heaven. Right? So, firstly, you have to be raptured to the throne, and after 3.5 years, you come down with him to fight the battle. So, Shirley, you want to join this army? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. And then it says here, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. You remember the bride? The bride was given a garment, a wedding garment, bright and pure. The fine linen are the righteous acts of the saints. So, one of the requirements is be righteous. We are not lying. 要公义，乱来的话，不要想跟我们的万王之王一起下来。Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword. What is this sword for? To strike the nations. So with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule over them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God. Ah, it's quite different than his first coming. The second coming of the Lord is dreadful. To really exercise the righteous judgment of God. So today, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that's fine. Then you will be judged here. If you're still alive, if you're already dead, then at the end of the millennial kingdom, you will have to be to come out of Hades and be judged before the great white throne. But here, when the Lord comes, those who are still alive, the nations, Satan will deceive them and gather the army of the whole world to Israel, to Jerusalem, there to fight against God. And he will rule, he will smite them, the nations, the army, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And he is, and on his robe, praise the Lord, kingly robe, right? And on his thigh, he has a name written. What is that name now?
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Wow, that's a different coming. In his first coming, he is very humble and lowly. Right? He came as a slave. Nobody knew even he was God. But in his second coming, no more, is different. Now he came to fight the battle, to judge, to tread on the fierce, the winepress of the fierce wrath of God And his name is well known to everybody. Then, Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord, right? I really hope that you will really see this. And then it says, verse 19, let's just jump to verse 19. And I saw the beast, it's a terrible beast at the end. And the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. Do you think they have a chance? They don't have a chance. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two, the beast and the false prophet, will be thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest, meaning to say the whole army, were killed with a sword which came out from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now you know why there are so many birds. Satan will gather all the armies of the whole world there, and God will call the birds from Canada, from America, from the Far East, all the birds everywhere from Europe, especially the seagulls and all the eagles and hawks and vultures and the birds of the whole world to go and have a feast. And well, it's written even in chapter 19, verse 17 there, look. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God. Wow, God even prepared a great supper for them. Well, I think all the birds are waiting for this supper. Just like we are waiting for the marriage feast of the Lamb. Well, aren't you waiting? Yeah, all the crows, you know, all the crows. Do you have crows in Vancouver, in Toronto? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know why they're crying out? They're crying out and says, Lord, when? When is the feast? They're crying out. In order that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders, generals, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and slaves, small and great, because they are in the army. My, you know, God is very wise. Even when he was creating all these creatures, the birds, now you know why there are so many birds. Because that's the best way to clean out the flesh. Can you imagine the armies of the whole world gathering there? Who's going to clean them out? The best way is the birds. So, you should praise God when you see the birds. Wait a little bit. Tell them. Birds, you just wait, okay? Until the feasting time is come. Well, this is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. God is really a mighty God. Right? So, you can see the first coming and the second coming. Now, when you come to the Gospel of John, that gospel is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being the real God. He is God. He's not just any man. No, no. He became a man, a perfect man without sin, to be our sin offerings, to save us. If you're not saved today, and you're still alive when the Lord comes, you will suffer the judgment. The last 3.5 years is called Great Tribulation. And the best way is to be raptured before it happens. Otherwise, you will have to go through the Great Tribulation, which is not very good. Right? So, but praise the Lord, we still have time, all of us here, especially those who have not yet received the Lord. You have to receive the Lord today. The earlier, the better. Right? To really know Him and to grow in life, to mature in life. You need time to mature. Right? Even a seed planted into the ground. Don't believe in the fairy tale called Jack and the Beanstalk. You remember Jack and the Beanstalk? Yeah, what happened? The seed fell into the ground the next morning. Wow. You look at the tree. My goodness. It grew overnight. But the seed of life planted into you will not grow overnight. You need time to grow. So you better redeem the time, receive the Lord, and be baptized into Him, so that you'll have time now to gain the time, the opportunities to know the Lord and have a real fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. This is important. Don't think, oh, I'm saved now, I'm just waiting to go to heaven. No, no. Don't believe that fairy tale. No, it's not going to happen like that. So, praise God. In this wonderful gospel, the gospel of Christ being this wonderful, the reality of God, it shows us the triune God, the wonderful triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, I have to stress this matter again and again, because even those of us who are in the church life today, many of us understood and believe in the doctrine of the triune God, but in your experience, I heard still many people say, Lord Jesus, you are also our Father. No. The Lord Jesus will tell you wrong, because He came as a man to be like you. And He always, as a man, communicated with the Father. Only God can do this. You cannot be two different kinds of people, right? Can you? Are you just one man or two men? You're just one. Can you split yourself into two?
You'll be dead.
You'll be dead. You'll be dead. Right, your body in the cemetery, buried, and your soul and spirit will be in Hades. Yeah. No, you cannot. But God, in order to save us, in His plan, because He knew everything before the foundation of the world, He knew what was going to happen. You know, if I would ask you, when was the lamb slain, what would you say? 2,000 years ago. But what did Peter say? Ah, the Lamb was foreordained before the foundation of the world and slain at the foundation of the world. Why? Because God knew. So He didn't have to wait. Only when the time was fulfilled that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But Peter says He was already slain at the foundation of the world. This is really wonderful, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. May the Lord really have mercy on us to show us this. Now, only God, for our sake, revealed himself as a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is why even in chapter 1, John chapter 1, right? Yes. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? And then he continued to say in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten of God, the only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the Lord Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. Actually, he was God himself. But for our sake, God could be the Father on one hand, and then be the Son on the other hand. That is why in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I asked already this question. Mo, if the Word was with God, how many are there?
Two.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, so how many?
Two.
And then, and the Word was God, so how many?
One.
So are there one or two? Really a wonderful mystery. No one of us can explain it. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because Christ, he was God. Right? The second of the Trinity, the Son, became a man. The Word became flesh. And now, if the Word became flesh, now, who is that Jesus? Was he the Father? But was he God?
Yes.
This is the mystery. He was God. But as a man, he was God the Son. And as God the Son, he was different than God the Father. That is why in John chapter 14, he says, I go to the Father because the Father is greater than I. But God the Father was God. God the Son was also God, but yet the one is now two. So now, can you say, Lord Jesus, you're my Father? Can you say that?
No,
you cannot say that. Because the Lord Jesus says, no, I go to my Father, who is now your Father. So he's the Father. Don't say, Lord Jesus, you are my Father. No, right? And Paul said in Romans chapter 8, right, that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. Can you imagine God calling you his brother? Huh? No. But what about Lord Jesus calling you a brother? Moses?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Why? How do you prove that? Because in John, right, at the time of the Lord's resurrection, the empty tomb, right? Right. Verse 17, chapter 20, verse 17, would you please read? You have it? John 20, 17. Please. 20, verse 17.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me.
Do not cling to me. Do not touch me. Why?
For I have not yet ascended to my Father.
Oh, to my Father. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Why? Because Jesus, as the first fruit, must firstly be enjoyed by the Father. Right? So remember, the Lord secretly ascended to the Father. He secretly ascended to the Father. Okay, now read.
Okay, but go to my
What? Go to my what?
Brethren.
Oh, no. I thought he's the only begotten.
No, but he has brothers.
The Lord Jesus has brothers. You believe that? Oh, which, well, maybe he's talking about James and Jude.
No.
Go to my brethren. Now, all of his disciples now are his brethren. Can you imagine that I go to my Father, who is now your Father, to my God, and now your God? So, the Lord Jesus is the firstborn in resurrection. According to the Bible, resurrection is not just risen from the dead, but through resurrection from the dead, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ became the firstborn Son of God. And we are the many brethren. Now, is Jesus God?
Yes.
Are you his brethren?
Yes.
Are you God's brethren?
No.
It's so crazy, isn't it? Man, you need to see this. You need to see this, right? Don't say, Lord Jesus, you're my Father. Don't say that. You know, I don't like to correct people. That's why I say nothing. But I hope that you will all see something wonderful. You have to see the distinction. There's a distinction. Right. Thomas said to the Lord, my Lord and my God. This is right, because the Lord is God. But he cannot say, oh, my Lord and my Father. No, that's wrong. I believe the Lord will correct him. But in the church life, don't correct every mistake. Ah, people run away. Correct every mistake? No, forget it. But as we grow in life, we will know. You know, this is an inward experience. It's not a doctrine. Remember, I'm not talking about a doctrine of the triune God. You know, when Jesus was on this earth showing us the Father, do you think that was a doctrine for him? No, because as the second person of the Godhead, he really loves the Father. As a man, he loves the Father. And he obeyed the Father. And he did everything the Father told him to do. That's why the Father could declare from heaven, says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, is the Father talking about himself?
No.
I am my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you think he can say that?
No.
No, definitely not. Right? So, you have to realize there is a wonderful distinction, and that distinction is for your sake. Not for the sake of a doctrine concerning the triune God.
三一神不是一个教训，不是一个神学的教导，不是。
It is not a doctrine. We don't have three gods. But we have a wonderful God who, for the sake of his purpose with us, made himself triune. But only God could do that. Don't say, oh, Jesus is God, the Father is God, so Jesus is God. It's, Jesus is the Father. So A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, right? This is human mathematics, but it is not the heavenly logic. It's quite different. It's very different. You know why I would stress this? Because now we are talking about worshiping the Father. But in your mind, the Son is the Father. That is the problem. I know that for a fact because I've seen so many brothers and sisters praying, Lord Jesus, you're my Father, Lord and the Father, Lord Jesus, Father, Lord, Father. At the end, you're all messed up. And I could feel with you, I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. That's, you know, but you need to gradually get into that feeling and that experience. Our relationship with Christ is like a bride to a bridegroom. It's a different relationship. Later on, you would realize if you have a bride, your relationship with your bride is quite different than your relationship to your father, right? Yes, it has to be, right? It has to be. It's a different relationship. So, the Bible tells us about such a wonderful triune God. A wonderful triune God. So, the Son is this wonderful God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us just like a human being as you are. Praise the Lord. Right? And yet without sin. Right? So when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, now may I ask you, is it God who went to the cross? Don't say no. He is God. But if I ask you, did the Father go to the cross? No. It is God who went to the cross, but it's God the Son who went to the cross. Well, don't say, well, since God, the Father is also God, so the Father went to the cross. Now, let me tell you, when Jesus was dying on the cross, who judged him? The Father judged him. You mean to say God judged himself? If you are in the mind, you will say, John, you're talking nonsense. How can God judge himself? Impossible. But the Lord has opened your eyes to see. Right? We learn gradually. I praise the Lord. It is really important for us to see the mystery of our wonderful God, the triune God. Right? And then, after the Son has accomplished redemption, where did he go? He says he went back to the Father. Right? That's why you have John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, the Lord was talking to his disciples here. I think his disciples is very sad because they heard the Lord says, I'm going. Right? And he says, believe me that I am in the Father, in verse 11, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, right, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because what? I go to my Father. Can you imagine that? Can you do a greater work than the Lord Jesus?
He says I can.
He said you can, but how? He's gone. So who's going to do the work? The Holy Spirit will do the work, okay? He said here, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Right? Then he said in verse 16, let's jump to verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you what?
Another.
What does another mean?
A third one.
Right? Another. It's a third one, right? David, you agree? Okay. Now, who is this third one? That he may be with you when? How long? Forever? Once in a while? No. What did he say?
Forever.
Well, because the Lord is going to the Father, right? That is what?
Spirit of truth.
Okay, would you please read to me? Right.
But you know him.
Wait. But you know him? Okay, please, you know him. Because?
For he dwells with you and will be in you.
Because he abides with you. You know him. Now, is it logical? Let me tell you. Let me ask you. The Lord says, I will send another helper. So who is he?
The Holy Spirit.
Has he come? Has he come already at that time?
Not at that time.
Then how do you know him? Because he hasn't been there yet. But the Lord says, but you know him. Because he's there right now. And he's going to be in you.
Because it's him. He's talking to them.
It's him. But if it's him, why he said another one? If I say, I'm going back to Fountain Valley and I'll send another brother to help the church in Toronto. So what does it mean?
Someone other than you will
come. Someone other than me will come, right? Right, and you'll ask who, right?
Yeah.
You'll ask, okay, John, who's coming? Oh, you know him, because he's already here. but you said you're going to send him. How come he's already here? And you know him. And he will abide. He already dwells here and he will be in you. This is really, really wonderful. But this is really amazing. Right? Look at it. Tens. I want to stress this point. It says, but you know him. He didn't say, but you will know him, right? Normally, I would say, but you will know him when he comes. Because I'm going to send him. That means, if I say, I'm not going, I'm going to send him. Is he here now?
No.
No. Okay. So do you know him? You will know him. Definitely, right? But the Lord says, but you know him. Now. If I were Philip, I'll ask another question. No, come on. Lord, how am I going to know him? You said he's going to send him. But you know him. Who do they know?
Jesus.
So, who is Jesus? He's going to be the other helper. The other helper. But why does the Lord say another helper? The Spirit of Truth. So who is the Spirit of Truth?
Jesus.
No, the one or two?
Three.
Not the three. No, you have the Father, you have the Lord Jesus, and now you have the Spirit. Although the Spirit and the Lord is one, and yet it is two. Two for the sake of your experience, because physically, as a man, the Lord is going to ascend to the throne. You should realize this is really wonderful, because God's intention is for man to sit on the throne to rule. This is really wonderful. If it's only God on the throne, it's no good. Then you and I will never have a chance to be on the throne. But now, Jesus, as a man, accomplished redemption, and he overcame, and the Father was happy with him. Now there is a man in the glory. We have that song. There is a man in the glory. Don't underestimate that song. Because if there is no man in the glory, then you and I have no more hope. 我们就没有办法进入荣耀了。 So now, the Lord says, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him, see him, or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you. That is the Lord who was there right now. But then the Spirit will be in you. Because at that time, the Lord, as a man with flesh and blood, cannot enter yet into his disciples. No possibility. He has to go through death And he has to go through resurrection, right? And change the form. So is he a man in the glory or is he the spirit in you? One or two?
Two.
You see, A wonderful God. A wonderful God. So, I will not leave you as orphan. In verse 18, would you please read?
I will come to you.
No, no, no. He will come to you.
No, I will come
no, he. The Spirit of truth will come to you, right? But he says, I will send the Spirit of truth. He will be the other helper. So who is the other helper?
It's him.
You say, don't be confused. It's him, but him in as the Spirit of truth. So how many? Now you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus, as the Son of Man, is today sitting on the throne in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. Now, who is in you?
Jesus as the Spirit.
Jesus as the Spirit. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit who is in you. And the Bible calls it the Spirit is the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because now you're sons of God, Galatians says, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into you. And what does the Spirit cry out?
Abba,
are you sure? Not Lord Jesus?
Abba,
oh, no, Lord Jesus. What is the difference? Oh, there is a big difference. The Spirit in you will cry out, Abba, Father. So John, do you cry out Abba Father more often or Jesus? Lord Jesus. Most of the time, oh, Tsuwa, Tsu, Yesuwa, Tsuwa, Tsuwa. Because you need help. The Lord is your Savior. But actually, we all need to have a living relationship with the Father. And this living relationship is through the Holy Spirit. Now, let us read what the Spirit does, because it's important, right? Now, verse 26, would you please read now?
Mm-hmm. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Can you imagine that? Now, are there three? Yes. Yes. So who sent? The Father sent. In my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. My, this is really wonderful. Is it true or not? What is your experience? Doctrinally, you say, yes. But what about experientially? Sister, how about experientially? Do you experience daily that the Spirit leads you and teaches you all things? Do you exercise and pray and say, Lord, Spirit, you have to teach me all things. All things is what? Are you sure? Just some things. A few important things.
Especially all the little things.
Especially all the little things. Do you obey? If the Lord says, don't say that, do you obey? Don't do that, do you obey? You know, we like to pray when it's big things, right? Oh, should I marry this girl? Oh, that's not for you. That's a big thing, you know. You pray, Lord, should I marry this girl? Oh, Father, pray, you pray, pray. What about when the Lord says, hey, make your bed. What about that? Amen? Yeah. What about obey your parents? What about speak the truth? What about the Spirit tells you stop? Right. What about when the Spirit tells you in so many little things in your daily life? You know, you have to learn. Because if you don't listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit in small things, and the Holy Spirit will teach you starting with a small thing. If you go to kindergarten, they don't teach you physics in kindergarten. Right? They teach you A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Come and sing with me. A, B, C. Well, that's what you learn in kindergarten, right? Right? You don't learn physics right away. You don't learn the theories that Kepler or Galileo or Einstein, C equals MC squared and all that, my goodness. You don't learn the big things yet. Right. But as you grow in the Spirit, then the Spirit can tell you, teach you, and show you great and marvelous things which you have not known. And he will not teach you theology. No. The Spirit is not for theology. He is for reality. The Holy Spirit is not a theologian. You know, he doesn't need to be a theologian. You think the Holy Spirit is a theologian? Well, definitely not. He is the living God himself. But he will teach you things from the Father he will receive and from the Lord Jesus. Right? Then verse 27, peace I leave with you. My 27, the Lord said, peace I leave with you. You have peace? My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful. My, what a wonderful peace. For Christians, if you're a real Christian, you won't be fighting, arguing, blah, 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 all the times creating trouble. He didn't say, trouble I give with you. Trouble I leave with you. My trouble I give to you. Now I went through the trouble, now you have to go through the trouble. The Lord didn't leave the trouble with peace. Right? So he said, you heard that I have said to you, I go away. And he will come to you. No? I'm going to ask Moses to read again. Please, read 20.
You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you.
No, 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 no. I'm going away and I'm going to send the helper to you.
He said, I'm going away and coming back to you.
Coming back. Is he going away or is he coming? No, you know, the translation says back. But in the text, it didn't say back, I'm coming. I'm going and I'm coming. So is he going or is he coming?
Both.
His going is his coming. I go and I come to you. I'm going to my Father and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. You would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is the same as I. No, wait a minute. Really? Is the Son God?
Yes.
Is the Father God?
Yes.
Is God greater than God? Now I caught him again. Huh. Now, of course, God is God, and there is only one God. Now, if I ask you, is the Son greater than the Father?
No.
Oh, wait, the Lord says, the Father is greater than I. No, I is who? The Son. Now, I confused you now, right? The Father is really greater than the Son, because naturally, are you greater than James?
Yes.
Although he's King James. Your son? Who is greater, your son or the father?
The father.
The father, of course. You will never say King James is greater than you. Right? Now, as the son, the father is definitely greater. But as God, there are how many God?
One.
So, the Lord as God and the Father as God. You cannot say one God is greater than the other God. No, because there's only one God. But as the Father and the Son, so da, fu da, as it's da. 当然是啊。 那在你的祷告的时候谁大? 当然是父大了，那这个不会变的，是不是？ But in our mind, both are God, so they're almost the same. This is our natural concept. But if you are in the reality of the relationship and experience, you will experience what the Lord said here, my Father is greater than I. Because when you're talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of course the Son is greater. The Father is greater. Now I'm confused. Of course the Father is greater than the Son. But when you're talking about God, there's no such comparison. Because God is God. There's only one God. Remember this. This is not a theology. This is the reality of this wonderful God for our sake, for our experience. 够清楚吗? Catherine, clear? I hope so, right? So, praise the Lord. Right. And now, I have told you before, it come to pass. That when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more, the Lord said. Right? Right. And he says, yeah. What else did he say here? Let's go to chapter 16. Let's jump to chapter 16. Right? Because in chapter 15, it just says, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness of him. Right? And now in chapter 16, let us read here in verse 7. Yeah. But I tell you the truth, because they are all quite sad, right? It's in verse 6, but because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is really a wonderful word of the Lord. It is to your advantage. Because in our natural concept, it is much better the Lord is there and I can see him, I can touch him, I can hear him. Right? Right? Isn't it true? What would you prefer? What would you prefer? The Lord physically present that you can see, right? Isn't it better? To see is to believe. That's what the world believes. To see is to believe. Right, Abraham? Isn't it much better that the Lord was sitting next to you just like Hannah? Oh, yes. Do you want an invisible Hannah? Oh, no, of course not. You want to see Hannah, you better touch him, to hold him there. Right. So the disciples also believed, Lord, what, you're going? No, no, you better stay with us. But the Lord said, no, I have to go away. It's to your advantage. What advantage? What is the advantage?
You can be in all of us.
Right. Right. Because you cannot be following the Lord all the time if he all of a sudden, trick is gone, and he is in Vancouver, and you're still in Toronto. you cannot go with him to Vancouver. Right? He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper that I'm going to send to you, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, why do you think the Lord spoke in such a way? As if it's so complicated. Right? No, it is not complicated, because that's the reality for our experience. Right? Because you're not going to see him physically now. Physically, he is in the heavens sitting on the right hand of the Father. And that's for your advantage too. But the real advantage is, now the Spirit will come. Where is he going to be? In you. Right? So who is in you? Huh? Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Christ as the Spirit is in you. This is really wonderful. Right? So it is good. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, people in the world, many of them do not admit that they have sinned. No conviction in sight. Because we have committed sin all the time. You know, all those who were brought before a judge always says, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. Even if they are not innocent. And there's very, very few people who are brought before a judge and being sued will tell the judge, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Everybody always says, I'm not guilty, I'm innocent. Right? Innocent until proven guilty. So everybody says, I am innocent. Hopefully they cannot prove me guilty. Right? But the Holy Spirit will convict you inside. Unless you're not a believer. That's why if a person wants to truly accept the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the first thing he needs to confess is, I'm guilty. Don't tell the Holy Spirit innocent unless proven guilty. That's only good for U.S. court. Maybe also in Canada, right? But not before God. You think God didn't know you? You think you can hide things from the living God? So a person who is touched by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he must do is to repent. Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Save me. Otherwise, you don't need salvation. If you think you are the best man on earth, then you don't need salvation. But the scripture says there's none good. No, not one. So you know exception. So, the Holy Spirit will convict you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you and you take care of His moving, He will tell you, hey, John, you're wrong. Stop, you're wrong. Don't argue. Many times we want to justify ourselves, right? When there's an argument between husband and wife, oh, both parties want to justify. I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. Oh my goodness, it becomes a big argument. So who is right, who is wrong? Both are wrong. Both are wrong. We need to repent. The Holy Spirit will convict you. But many times we just push him aside. You push him once aside, 10 times aside, 20 times aside, you don't hear him anymore. You become insensitive to the Holy Spirit, right? And righteousness, praise the Lord, and judgment. Oh, the Spirit is very, very practical, unless you don't care about him. If you do, he will really convict you. Right? That means not condemn you, but convict you, letting you know the real situation. Right, and here it says, he will really show us, right, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to realize that you are a sinner. Right.
如果你以为你是一个好人的话，那你就不需要拯救了，因为你好了嘛，好了还需要救恩干嘛？对不对？And then it says concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, now you explain to me. Mo, I'm going to ask for your help tonight. Don't think I'm giving you a hard time. Okay, yeah. If you understand that, that's great. Otherwise, tonight you go and tell your wife, Uncle John always give me a hard time. No, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. No. Now, why does the Lord say concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me? And why and what does that have to be with righteousness? I know, let's save time. Oh, 9:20. I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me. No. I'm just going to finish this point and that's it. We all go home. Okay. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Paul says it is for our righteousness. Why is it that so many people died and nobody rose again? Because we are all sinners. We died in sin. But Jesus Christ rose again for our justification. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. He rose for our justification. Now, that means God accepted him and all that he's done as righteous. Otherwise, he will not rise from the dead. That's why the Lord rose from the dead, not only because he resurrected. Well, if he had one sin, he will not rise from the dead because he won't be justified. But because he was righteous from the very beginning to the end, that's why he was able to become our sin offering. So when he rose from the dead, that is a proof that the Father accepted what he has done as the righteous offering. That's why he rose from the dead. And the Father took him and sat him on a throne. My, that shows that the Lord Jesus Christ was righteous and the Father was 100% well pleased. That is why Romans 8 says, so that the righteous requirements of God might be fulfilled in all of us who walk no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is wonderful. So the very fact that the Lord is there shows, oh, that is righteous, because no one who is not righteous will be there. Praise God. And then judgment. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. My, Satan is judged. Learn to say this. If the devil comes and try to tempt you, you should tell him, Satan, devil, sorry, you're already judged. Get lost. Go to your prison. If not, I'm going to send you there to prison, because God already judged you. Satan is judged by God. Not only judged, Hebrews chapter 2 says, he is destroyed. So are you afraid of Satan? Are you afraid of the devil? Are you afraid of Satan? No more, he's already judged. Not only judge, Hebrews 2 says, he has been destroyed. Right? Learn to say that to him. What are you doing here, devil? You're already judged. And if you still say, you're already destroyed. For me, you are passé. Finished. Done with. Fertig aus. Praise the Lord. Right? This is really wonderful. But what is more glorious is this. In verse 13, but when he, The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you. My, this is really wonderful. He will lead you into all the truth. That means all the reality. The reality of what God has promised, what the Bible says. He will lead you not into all doctrine, but He will lead you into all reality. 圣灵不会讲道给你听的。 圣灵是要引导你进入那个实际的东西。人只能够讲道给你听，但是圣灵不是要讲道给你听，圣灵要引导你进入那个实际的东西。This is wonderful. Don't expect the Holy Spirit to preach to you. But He will lead you into all reality. So without the Holy Spirit, no reality. You just have the teachings, the knowledge, but no substance. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He is not going to hear from the pastor, but from God. He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. My goodness. He will tell you what is to come. Then, verse 14, He shall glorify me. Many times people only glorify themselves. My, have you ever heard this kind of message that I speak? Goodness, then who's glorified? Me. That's horrible. Horrible, terrible. The Holy Spirit will never glorify Himself. You know, many times when we just do a little bit in the church life, we already want everybody to praise us, right? If you don't recognize it, then I get mad. Don't you see what I've done? Because you want people to glorify you. But the Holy Spirit will never do that. If you see anything in the church life that is the glory of man, you should reject it. No. Because we don't want to glory anything. And if it is glorification of men, that is 100% not of the Spirit. Don't do anything to glorify yourself. No. He shall glorify me, the Lord says. The me refers to the Lord Jesus. For He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. My, what a direct transmission of what is from the Lord. Therefore I said, right? Verse 15, all things that a father has are mine, because the father gave it to him. Therefore I said, he shall take of me, from me, right, and will disclose them to you. Now, this is really wonderful. My, what a wonderful spirit. Don't you want the Spirit? What do you prefer? A tutor? A pastor? You have to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is why God is triune. Praise the Lord. 对不起,太迟了。因为你们刚刚从 Niagara Falls 回来, but I told the brothers, because they are so tired, they can sleep in the meeting. It's all right. They just came back from Niagara Falls. Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen.